All right. Am I on? There we go. Hey, good evening, everyone. Go ahead and grab a seat. Glad y'all are with us. Things look a little bit different tonight. We know that. No worship. And instead, there are seven people on the stage. And so we are doing a little panel tonight. We are glad you're here. Welcome to Reengage. And so these three brave couples are going to share part of their story tonight. And every single one of them, you may not know them, they're going to introduce themselves in a moment. My name's Scott. I serve on the marriage team here, working with pre-married, newly married, re-engaged, a little bit of everything, mostly our newly married ministry. And I get to be married to my wife, Kristen, four kids. We've been married about 18 years, been a part of Watermark for a long time and the marriage team for a long time. But these three couples who are with us tonight all share something as part of their story. They're very brave and courageous. There are some parts of their story, like every one of our stories, that that are not their finest moments, that are challenges that they have walked through. And these three couples have all walked through marital infidelity. And so they are here to share some of their story, essentially what they would want you to know, whether that's part of your story or not. We think you will be encouraged and challenged, equipped tonight as you hear from these friends as they share a little bit about what they walked through and what they would want you to know. I think one thing that's a consistent between these three couples is that they never thought this would happen to them. When they got married, you know, 18 years ago and 21 years ago and 35 years ago, they never expected that. Those are total guesses. I've never met them before. And they just kind of gauged the age of them. And so they never thought that would be a maturity level. That's what it means. So from least mature to most mature on the stage. They never thought this would be part of their story when they said, I do. And so we're going to do a little Q&A. We've got a bunch of questions that I'm going to ask them along the way. I know I'm squeaking. I don't know if it's because of, let's see, that might be a little better. A little bit of feedback, but I'm going to keep pushing through. Take notes if you can find a blank page in your Reengage book. I think there'll be a lot tonight that you want to learn from them. A little bit of research going in. So 74% of men would say they would have an affair if they knew they wouldn't get caught. So 3 out of 4 men. I just heard a lot of groans in the room. I think mostly from the ladies. Don't judge us. 67% of women would have an affair if they knew they wouldn't get caught. 100% of couples are unfaithful. That's what the great marriage counselor Cameron Diaz says about married couples. And that we, you know, this, the one thing that is consistent is 100% of us would say we never expect this to be a part of our story. And so I'm going to pray, and then they're going to dive in and briefly share a little bit of their story, and then I'm going to run through some questions with them. So God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these couples. Thank you for the amazing work that you've done in the lives of the Mines and Gios and Coxes. I pray, God, that tonight every single one of us would fall more deeply in love with you, that we would realize how good you are, how kind you are, that we would walk away with a greater understanding of the gospel and of forgiveness. And God, I thank you that even though these couples wish this wasn't part of their story, the way that they're willing to tell their story to help and encourage others. And so we just say thanks for tonight. We pray it honors you and glorifies you in every way. And God, I pray that it would help us. We love you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Kevin and Kelly, you ready?
Yeah. So I'm Kevin, this is Kelly. And so are we on? Are we good? Can y'all hear me? There we go. So just kind of the abbreviated version, this is hard to do in limited time, but we got married in 2001. When we got married, we were both believers, and we started going through sort of a typical marriage where we were working full-time, we started having kids, time marched on, and then fast forward about 7 years into the marriage, we'd kind of drifted apart. I'd kind of certainly drifted apart from the Lord and had started exercising with a gal who was not my wife. And so I was married, she was married, I thought no big deal, nothing would ever happen. But an emotional connection quickly developed. I started looking forward to those workouts more than I should, all the while saying it would never turn physical. Well, it did. A few months after that, so this was back in 2007, 2008, the physical affair lasted a couple months. I was leaving that job to go back to school full-time, said I'll sweep that under the rug, deal with that later, I got to get through school. But Kelly found out about it not too long after that, so kind of that's when I say sort of the storm hit our marriage. But that's where we landed here just over 10 years ago. We walked through these doors, and that's where God really began working on my heart, kind of shining lights on areas where I needed to get right with him first and foremost. And then the ripple effect from that was he completely healed and redeemed our marriage. And so we've got three kiddos. We had two before the storm, and we've got sort of a miracle child that came afterwards. And so we, God completely redeemed and restored it. We are not perfect. We're far from it, but we are in a much sweeter spot now, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. And so all grace and glory to God from that. But that's our story.
Do we have pictures of these guys too? If you can throw the family pictures up. There they are, 18 years ago. Okay. Drew and Amanda.
I'm Amanda. Andrew and I have been married for 21 years, as Scott shared. We got married here in Dallas and would have told anyone who listened that we were believers at the time, but we really didn't know what that looked like. About a year and a half into marriage, we moved out of state and were isolated from everyone, from our families, from friends, from church, all of that. And ultimately, we were in a place where we were living like roommates. He was very unhappy in his career. I was pursuing mine. We really had no one else speaking into our lives, nor were we letting anyone in. And I ended up developing an emotional relationship with my boss. That culminated in a Christmas party celebration where he had his Christmas party one night, Drew did, I had mine the same night. We didn't invite the other one to each other's respective parties. That's how far apart we were. My boss did, try to kiss me that night, and I fled from the situation and tucked it away and thought, I can just take this to the grave. I towed the line, nothing happened. And I carried a secret with me for 9 years that I would have walked away. It was only God that saved me in that moment. And 9 years later, we had found ourselves back here in Dallas. We had had our first of three kids. God had pointed us, thank goodness, to Watermark, and through many, many, many ministries. We both walked through Region, all the things that we could soak up. And then we went through Reengage with our community group at the time. And I felt convicted to confess the truth finally. Andrew had given his life to Christ and was forgiving me in the midst of it. We spent a lot of time and still work through trust, but we're so thankful just to be standing on this side of it now.
Go ahead, pass the mic on.
Hey guys, I'm Susan, and this is my husband, Raul Cox, and we showed up in 2009, and I had a hotel room key in the bottom of my purse because I was in the middle of having an affair and addicted to pornography, and I mean, just the wheels were off in the marriage. Raul was also in the middle of being unfaithful as he traveled on his business trips from coast to coast, and we were a hot mess. We had listened to friends and family tell us that nobody heals from that and you might as well get a divorce. And I remember sitting in this room on night one, looking around at all the pretty faces, and I just thought, man, if anybody knows what's gone on behind closed doors, what are they going to think about us? And as we began to come each week and experience the love of Jesus Christ through his people here at our church, and as we began to dive in and do the work in closed group, we began to peel back the layers. And we began to see that, man, an affair is just a lie from the enemy. We believe the lie that affection outside of God's design of marriage is where life was found, and we can tell you that it was not. And as we began to walk in the light and to confess and to allow the Lord to begin to heal, man, our marriage has been restored, and we'll celebrate 35 years in August. So praise God.
Raul, anything to add? Everyone's good? Yeah.
30 seconds left.
Yes, you did. Hey, I challenge these guys to do their story in less than 2 minutes, and they each did it in less than 2 minutes. How about that? Way to go. Yeah, there's a consequence. If they went over 2 minutes, I actually have a pan filled with whipped cream that they were going to get whipped creamed in the face if they went over.
So now yes. Scott gets it.
Yeah. No, that we didn't. I didn't agree to that. Okay, so.
Can
you
take a boat?
No. All right, so first question. Susan, you said this really well. I mean, no one, you heard repeatedly, right? Nobody can heal from this. No one can recover from an affair. We've got three examples of couples who actually have. So how do you rebuild trust after an affair?
Man, great question. So you do trustworthy things. when you want to rebuild trust in the marriage, you do trustworthy things. And what that looked like with Roll and I, it was full access to my cell phone and computer, and there were no passwords hidden. Nothing was protected. I knew that I could be fully known before the Lord. I mean, Romans 5:8, gosh, that even in the midst of our sin, Jesus Christ died for us. I mean, we are known and we're loved. And as I experienced that through Reengage, I wanted to be fully known with Roll. I knew that keeping anything in the dark was going to hinder healing. And so I wanted to be known. And Roll and I both learned how to give each other a safe place to open up and to confess when we struggled. And so as we began to do that within the context of community, meaning your small group, we had others that were able to speak into that as well and to hold us accountable.
Okay, so I heard do trustworthy things, full access, nothing hidden, fully known by the Lord, fully known by Raul, providing a safe place to share. What else would you guys add? How do you rebuild trust after an affair?
Something that was really important for us is just if Drew had a question, he was free to ask it. You know, if he really was curious what went on, whatever it was, I needed to be open to hearing that question and responding to it and giving him what he needed to hear. He didn't necessarily want all the details always, but just being open to allow him to process that.
Yeah, and I think the first thing that needed to be done was forgiveness, right? I know that I was unable to do any healing work in our marriage until I was able to forgive her. And then a lot of it was time, right? It's not going to happen instantaneously. And so even I had to be patient with how long it was taking me to rebuild trust.
Good. Anything to add? Excellent. Good.
I also think that for Susan and I, that a big component of our healing came from being entrenched with a group of guys and gals that were in love with the Lord, and they loved marriages, and we could walk with them through this. So just having guys to talk to, and Susan to have gals to talk to, and kind of bounce things off and kind of seek wisdom and maybe what the approach would be in certain things. But being entrenched in the ditches with these people helped tremendously.
Good. So one thing about I appreciate about these three couples is three very different stories. So Kevin had an affair in their marriage. Raul and Susan both had physical affairs. Amanda, you had something different. You actually had an emotional affair. Will you unpack what that means? We've heard that phrase. We all hear it. But what does it mean to have an emotional affair with somebody who's not your spouse?
Really, all affairs start there. You're building an emotional connection with someone that is not your spouse. And so, you know, like Kevin shared, you're looking forward to seeing that person. You're looking forward to what they have to say to you. But you really are living in a fantasy land and you're letting your thoughts run, you know, with the enemy is ready just to pull you away into that anti-reality and tell you that grass is greener than the spouse that you promised yourself to the Lord. The difference only is that it stops at not becoming physical. That's it. But they all start there.
Good. Susan, anything you'd add to that? I've heard you speak this a lot.
Two words that went through my mind the whole time I was emotionally connecting with this guy. It was, I wonder. I would get in conflict with Raul, and then I would go to the gym and I would say, I wonder what it would be like to engage in conversation with him. I wonder what it would be like to hold his hand, trade phone numbers. I wonder. And so right there was a very dangerous place for me to be because I was beginning to emotionally connect to him. And what Amanda said is spot on. I mean, it started in my mind with I wonder until the day came that I took the physical step across and made it physical.
Good, thank you. What do you wish you would have done different? So looking back now, as you think about the men and women who are here, what would you want them to hear that you would have done different that maybe would have prevented this from being a part of your story?
Yeah, I'll start with that one. There's the thing we wrestled with a lot at the beginning was why. We had a pretty good marriage. We didn't fight a lot. We were, you know, I think a pretty probably happy couple. So we really both wrestled with why did this happen? And so looking back on it, it was real key because all the key ingredients were there. But one, I had strayed from the Lord. And so first and foremost, you got to have that relationship right with the Lord. So John 15:5 talks about abiding in him. And that's what I was not doing. And so that is paramount to all of our lives. And so the staying in a right relationship with the Lord. Two, we didn't, you know, we were at a point in our marriage about 7 years in where we just got kind of boring and we got bored. And so I stopped pursuing her. She stopped pursuing me. And so I found that thrill of that pursuit with somebody else. And so keeping the relationship fun and continuing to date each other and have fun. And so Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, enjoy life with the wife whom you love. And so we weren't really doing a good job of that. And then we didn't have, like you guys mentioned, the community. Didn't have guys in my life asking me those tough questions of, you know, hey, what are you struggling with? What's your thought life? How are you doing with lust? And so all these things that I should be checking in regularly with guys on, and I just wasn't doing it. And then lastly, I'd say that we didn't have community. We didn't have boundaries with other people. And so people of the opposite sex, we didn't even think about it. I was exercising with a gal who was not my wife pretty much every morning. And so I look back on that now and I think, are you crazy? Why would you ever do that? To put yourself into that situation where, again, I was naive, but for us now we have healthy boundaries set up between us and people of the opposite sex.
So did I just hear you say, if there are women in the gym where I work out, I should not work out? Are you giving me permission to sleep in? Okay.
Yes, do not
Thank
work
you.
Out.
Okay, good. All right, so I think that's a really,
You're welcome.
Really helpful list, minus my idiotic comment at the end. So four things, right? I heard not abiding with Jesus, John 15:5. I did write this down, guys, I'm telling you. Okay, so not abiding with Christ, not intimate with him, bored in your marriage, and so just kind of stuck in a rut and complacent. And I think on that, I just challenge you, side note here, I think we just need to not be so complacent with having a good enough marriage, right? Where we just go, our marriage is fine. It could be so much worse. Don't just settle for being good enough. Okay, we could do so much better. And so just bored in marriage. And typically what they found actually is they do research with couples who have walked through infidelity, is that boredom is one of the top things on the list of couples who experience an affair. They look for fun outside of marriage. And so stuck in a rut, not dating, not pursuing one another, no community. So you said that a moment ago, Raul, just not having men or women in their lives to ask hard questions, and then no boundaries with folks of the opposite sex, that you're just careless with it. And so you were able to blow through those really quickly. What would y'all add to that list of four? Anything else?
The only thing I would say, and it really is a bullet point of the first one, for me, my identity was wrapped up in everything else but a relationship with the Lord. It was wrapped up in what my boss thought of me. It was wrapped up in what other people thought of me, and not where it truly needs to be found. And so if that is your struggle, just start there on your knees, because that's where the healing is found, for sure.
Good. See, is there anything to add, Raul?
Just one thing I'd add is nobody's immune to this.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting in the room right now thinking, I would never, beware. The enemy prowls. He doesn't take a vacation. And he's looking for a testimony to devour in this room. And so when we put those four things into place, we put ourselves in a position to fight temptation and to fight the enemy well.
Get real practical. What is one thing that you do now to protect your marriage from infidelity or from the possibility of an affair, given the fact that we're all capable? What are things that you do practically every day, every week to strengthen and protect your marriage?
So one of the things Susan and I have incorporated is every morning or sometime during the day, we will get together and we'll just pray together and just hear what's on each other's heart. I think it just helps create intimacy, but also we're praying and asking God for protection of our marriage. And I think that's one big thing that we do now that we hadn't done before.
So yeah, and same here. Prayer is big, but we typically weekly. Summer's a little different just because it seems a little bit more wheels off, but we are really good at checking in with each other on a weekly basis, just like, hey, what's going on this week? What does it look like? How busy is it? What kind of meetings, you know, are on the agenda? But we really, the big thing is we have a lot of fun together. And that can be just us on dates or with people, just having a lot of fun together. And it's not like we didn't have fun the first 7 years of our marriage, but it just is so different. And so it's just, I mean, just like in those four bullet points, we just like to have fun together. We do check in with one another, and We do put everything on the table, where before we were afraid to have really hard conversations about the hard stuff. I was kind of scared to ask those questions. That's silly. I mean, he's my husband. I should be able to ask questions. But creating that safe place and putting stuff on the table that's really, really tough has been huge for us.
I'd love to hear from all six of you on this one. So one thing practically.
Yeah, for us, certainly early on and now, like, there's no secrets. So no passwords that we don't know. And then there's boundaries that each one of us have in place. Like, she's not going to talk to another man alone, right? I'm not going to be in a meeting with just a female or anything like that all by myself. And so, because I'm not immune to doing what she did. I'm not immune to doing much worse. And so I've got to make sure that I remember and that I know that I'm one click away from doing the very, very same thing. And so that goes with being diligent and abiding with Christ as well. It's always going to boil back down to that.
Another thing I think that's really important is just being a student of one another. We tell our young couples that are in Merge exploring marriage that is so incredibly important. You think on that side of marriage that you know each other so well, and really it's a lifelong process that you're going to continue to get to know one another. And so to really create that intimacy and that sense of oneness, you're just constantly going to be learning. So not to lose your curiosity, I would say, about one another there too.
Man, I would tell you, I've tasted the sin, and doo-doo tastes like doo-doo. I'm just going to be real crass with you. I mean, the enemy paints it as this whipped cream-covered sprinkle cupcake that is so awesome, and you bite into it, and it's not. And so what I've learned through this whole part is God is good. He is who he says he is. He's transformed our marriage, and I really do try to keep every day just a reminder of the goodness of who God is. We do pray, and we pray fervently, and we thank him for the mighty work that he's done in the marriage. And then I want to walk around with the mindset of, I don't want to ever go back to that again. And so let's face it, there's a lot of good-looking men and women. God did great, didn't he? He did. I mean, he's a creator of it all, and there are some beautiful men and women walking this planet. And I know that where my eyes stare, my heart will steer. And so I'm real careful where my eyes go. I work on a team with a lot of men. And I work on a staff where there's a lot of men. I work in a ministry where there's a lot of men and women coming in and out of our doors. And so what I've learned to do is, man, Lord, you did well with that one. I pray, but it's followed with this. God, I pray that he loves his wife. I pray that he knows you, Lord, that he worships you. I pray that he leads and guides his family well. Oh, God, you got that man. Let's go. And I don't lock eyes with men. I don't do that. My affair started in a gym where I locked eyes with a guy, started with the I wonder, and so here we go. So I practiced something called the bouncing of the eyes. I may see a guy, my eyes look away, I pray, and I just keep on going. But I do look at you, Scott, every day, but I don't think you that way. He's my boss. He's my boss. I love you, Scott Kedersha, but not like that.
Thank you. Isn't it 7 seconds, though? Don't you have 7 seconds?
Yeah.
Which is creepy, but... That's not a glance anymore. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, these guys hit the nail on the head. The only thing I'd say that I personally did that is the one game changer in my life that I tell my kids now, if you could do one thing, they'll change the rest of your life. It's make your time with God first. And so Mark 1:35 talks about very early in the morning, Jesus got up to go and be with the Lord. And so, man, if Jesus needs to do it, how much more do I? And so every morning, time with the Lord, quiet time. Maybe 10 minutes, it may be 30 minutes, it depends, but making that priority.
Yeah, if I could just piggyback on that one thing, like, we're all busy, and the thing that I hear the most, like, man, I'm just so busy, I don't have time. So instead of trying to fit your Bible intake and your time with the Lord into your day, fit your day around your Bible intake.
So good. There's a lot of ums after that one. That was good. Okay, here's what I heard is weekly check-ins, fun, Everything's on the table, no secrets, opposite sex boundaries. Be students of one another, 1 Peter 3:7. I heard it tastes like doo-doo, right? It's so good for me to hear. Because I'll tell you what, I'm just going to be honest, right? Like, I'm very, very happily married to Kristen Kadersha. We will celebrate 18 years of marriage in a couple weeks, a couple months. September, I know the date, September 15th. It's weeks or months, it fits in that bucket. And I'm very happily married, and things are so good. But I think there's times when, like, we all wonder, like, what is it like? You know, just being with the same person for day after day after day. And I'm praying, God, continually grow my affection for my wife, right? That I would love her more, that I would not be drawn off sides by other attractive women around me, that I wouldn't wonder to that point and go, God, help me to love them and appreciate them as God's daughters, or for ladies as God's sons, and appreciate them and thank God for them. And then grow my affection for Kristen Kadersha, that everyone else would just pale in comparison to her. And so that reminder of it tastes like doo-doo is so good, and that'll stick with you too, okay? I'm going to make a
That's going on the new re-engage card that we're going to hand out.
I heard make God first, fit your day around your time with the Word. Don't fit your time in the Word around the rest of your day. Make that the priority. And then I'll go back to the one that was first on the list was pray. And y'all know the divorce rate for couples who pray? It's ridiculously low. It is less than 1% of couples who pray with one another. And I'm not talking about lame prayer that's just rote and has no heart or emotion or intimacy in it, but couples who get after it together with the Lord and depend on the Lord. If you pray together, you are growing and protecting and strengthening your marriage. Okay. We have so many other questions I could ask, but we are out of time. One thing I just would add, I've heard this phrase years ago of adultery repellent. It's when you talk so high, I just highly recommend getting some. It's when you speak so highly about your wife that it makes other people know very clearly that you are taken and not available. And so I remind people all the time, and nobody has ever come on to me. This has never been like, you know, hey, this is because people are pawing at me. I let people know, I don't care, right? The answer here is that I am very happily married to Kristen Kadersha. We love one another. She's very attractive, beautiful, loves the Lord. And if you come after her, I will cut you. I want you to know that I love her. She is mine, and we fight for that. And so I heard somebody say that. They didn't put that line at the end about cutting you. That's just a joke. But like, Lee, we're very happily married, not available. And that just lets the world know. And then this thing that you put on your finger, your wedding ring, right, reminds people. It's a symbol that you're taken, that you're in a covenant relationship with somebody else. And so, you know, wearing that thing proud, like, this is, I am off the, you know, nobody can take me. We're taken as husband and wife, okay? Did you want to share something? Please do. Now go ahead. This would be a good time.
I think that, you know, as it's easy for us to sit up here and you hear us laughing. And I mean, we are all quite a bit of ways out from when our storm hit. And I want you to know that if you've walked in here because you literally found out yesterday that infidelity is a part of your story, hey, like, just take it in. Like, we don't want you to think like, well, they've got it all together, and so this just isn't for us. So we want you to understand, like, we have walked the road of a lot of pain, a lot of tears, and it wasn't overnight. Reengage is not overnight for those of you who've been in it. And so we want you to, like, we're praying for you, and we want you to, if you are really in a hard place and you don't want to laugh and you don't want to smile and you hear what we're saying because we kind of play on words, I just pray that you'll just trust this ministry and trust the Lord. If you don't know who Jesus is, I pray tonight that you may get a glimpse of who Jesus is because of what he's done in our marriages. And in this ministry, like, it's not about reengage. It's just a tool. It's about Jesus. And so that's my prayer for you. Like, we are so grateful to be a lot of years out. So grateful. But I just want you to know that our hearts are thinking about you and praying for you if this is something that's really fresh. So thanks for letting me say
that,
Scott.
I'm so glad you said that. one of the questions on here is someone in this room has this as part of their story and they've never told anyone. What do you wish they would know? And I think you just said it. Right, is tell someone, confess, share, and then you'll find help from God's people, from his word, from his spirit. And the only hope we have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right, that's how we forgive. That's how we move forward. And so you are in a very safe place where we want to love you and help you and encourage you, challenge you. And so thank you, Kelly, for saying that. If you have questions that weren't answered, a couple things I'd encourage you to do. One is to ask your leader. And so if you're in a closed group, ask your leader. Open group, you can ask your leader. If this is your first time here, Susan's going to tell you what to do when we're done. Ask Sue, or who's doing newcomers tonight? Yeah, ask the apples. Okay, so you can ask someone, and then leaders, if you are in this room and you have a question that you don't know the answer, don't make it up. Just say, hey, let me get back to you next week and ask Susan. Reach out to Ryan. We want to help you. I would ask, just as you think about these guys moving forward and you're processing what you heard, I've heard them say this so many times that after they share their stories, even though they're years removed from it, there's still kind of this dark cloud that hangs over their marriage and over their lives. Just having to retell that story again, they're in such a healthy, good spot. But just as you think of them, it'd be great for you to pray for them. And then on a personal note, for you guys, I mean, I'm so thankful that these three couples pushed through. Okay, because the world would have told them, quit, separate, get divorced, do what the world would tell you to do. And just, I'm going to tell you what these guys are doing now. So, Kevin and Kelly lead, are the strongest leader couple in this church as a part of our premarital ministry. We do a class a couple nights a week. One of them is led by staff. The other one is led by these two. They don't get a paycheck. They're not pastors. They're people who love, they get paychecks in their jobs, but not from Watermark. They are people who love the Lord and are leading in our premarital ministry. And they're open with their story, and they're telling premarried couples, here's what you need to know about marriage. They've got three amazing children. Our seventh graders are kind of pledged to one another in the future. And so I'm thankful that they don't know that yet, but we planned it all out. And so I'm so glad they're together. Drew and Amanda were equally an incredible part of our premarried ministry for years. And then a little curveball, we actually offered Drew a job. He leads the marriage ministry at our Plano campus. So he's leading Merge, he's leading Reengage, leading community groups. Their story is a great redemptive story that if they'd given up, Drew and Amanda Gia would not be leading the marriage ministry in Plano. And then Susan and Raul, you guys know them from being here. I mean, Susan is one of my closest ministry partners in the world. I mean, Reengage would be so different if it weren't for the courage of Raul and Susan, the fact that they leaned in and didn't quit when things were difficult and challenging. You benefit from their story every single week. And they'd all say there's nothing special about them. I know them personally and closely. There's nothing special about them, okay? Right, just like I'd say about any one of us, all right? They're people who have said, God, use us however you need to. And so, guys, I'm so grateful that I get to learn from you and that we get to learn from you tonight. Thank you for not quitting when things were difficult, but for pushing through. I really think one of the things I consistently say is I hope God always gets the glory and you help others. And I think you've done that tonight. So will you thank our panel for leading us tonight? And then you guys can jump off stage. I'll pray, and then Susan's going to close with some announcements. So, God, thank you for this time together tonight. I pray that it really was glorifying to you in every way, that we honored you and what we said. And thank you for the way that you designed marriage. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for these stories. God, I pray it would help us to become more and more and more like your son, Jesus. I pray for everyone in this room, for those who are terrified, who are hiding. I pray, God, you'd give them the courage to share. Pray for those who are in the middle of it right now, that they would be open and teachable and humble. Help us to all be humble. And God, I pray that we'd honor you with our marriages. Thank you for all you're doing around here. We just thank you. We love you. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.